Hello and welcome to On the Couch with M&M. M&M obviously for Maria and Manos.
This is where we go behind the scenes in real estate business ownership to give you great ideas and tips to help you create fun and profitable businesses so that you can live an extraordinary life.
Let's get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of On the Couch with M&M.
Really excited to bring the next special guest, our good friend, real estate specialist, mindset coach, Tanja Jones from TMJ Coaching.
So excited to have you on the couch.
I love you guys.
And really good friend. We've known Tanj for quite some time. Actually, 3 years. I think we're coming up to 3 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, close to 3 years, actually. Yeah, yeah. You guys, my second speaking gig when I joined.
That's right.
The industry.
It was at the conference.
Get stuff done.
We can say it. It's nowhere near as... I was going to mention Mr. Tom Panos.
Yes.
Is that right, Tom? Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah, that's right. That was your first one. And we've done so much work together since then. Personally, you've been my personal coach. Mm. You've coached a lot of our directors and worked, with business owners within our company. And it's been amazing. The feedback has been awesome.
Plus with many of the elite organisations out there throughout Australia.
Yeah.
Not just here in Melbourne, but throughout Australia.
Mm.
The Dexar Group and Lang & Simmons and, from Marshall Whites to Biggins & Scott. So you're well known and well respected in the industry for what you've obviously achieved. But you bring something different to the table.
Mm.
So let's talk about your background first.
Okay. As in professional background or like where do we start? So 29 years working across the corporate, private, retail, government sectors, always in leadership and communication, left school in year 12. I didn't like school. I just wanted to get out in the real world and, get gritty and work. I had part-time jobs at the age of 11. Mm-hmm. I used to work in school holidays. I'd had two jobs with school. So, for me, I just wanted to get out in the real world. And but I was always interested in leadership and business.
Yeah.
And so 10 years in retail as a store manager for Myer, I was working with the City of Melbourne and produced the big events in the city, including Ricky
amazing.
Martin in the City Square
and
Grand Prix and Australian Open Senior event production. And I've also always been studying personal evolution and the art of human excellence. And then...
The art of human excellence.
Yeah. So anything from... And that's on physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually. As a young kid, I always was fascinated in why some people just had that radiance and energy and were able to positively influence others. And I also knew myself the difference. You know, when you're with someone, they always make you, they can either make you feel better or not.
Or not. Yeah.
And I just wanted to be someone that
made a difference.
Feel better.
Yeah.
So, and then real estate in 2014, November. I was Lincoln and I, my husband and I, were looking to sell our house, and we just had a number of really average experiences and then one standout. And I was just left in this inquiry of why do some agents fly and others flop when it comes to the fundamentals of connection? Because we're not asking for a cup of coffee here.
No.
You know, we're asking to partner the sale of someone's biggest asset.
Yeah.
And it's such an emotional experience.
Gosh, yeah. So... I don't know. Well, I just started doing some research and started talking to leaders and finding out what are the challenges you're having? What are clients saying? What are consumers saying? And every stone I turned, I realized perhaps I could be a contribution. You know, perhaps the experience I've had outside of the industry, if I brought it to real estate, I'm a bit old fashioned too. I don't know. I know you guys are too. As you said, we're friends and we kind of sing from the same hymn book, so to speak. It's not that hard to just connect, really.
No.
And this is a connection industry,
people
by people, not products. So I've learned and am learning so much. And, it's 2.5 years ago and
It's awesome. So
it's so much fun still.
It is. And you're absolutely right. It's definitely not about bricks and mortar. And I say that to people every time we interview them, don't we? It's like, you know, what is it that you love about real estate? Why do you think you want to come into the industry? And if they say, because we love houses, it's just like, it's totally, you know, it's not about that. Yeah. It's definitely about people and helping them, you know, through their journey. But business owners, you touched before, you know, you saw the challenges. Tell us, talk to us about a few of, you know, and I mean 2.5 years later, being in it and working with so many different principals and businesses, you'll have a different view now.
Yes.
So tell us about those challenges. What are
the top
three or four that you see that business owners struggle with?
I think, and look, you guys would know, you know, having a leading brand across Australia, you would see it all the time. It is the dance of working in the business and on the business.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my experience, leaders were once agents that worked for a brand and went, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I can do it better. Mm. And I want to do it for myself. So they have that inspiration, and good on them, because it takes something to think that and then do the actions to manifest it. And then it's a whole different ball game when you've got the bricks and mortar and the tables and the chairs and you put the bums on the seats, and then there's this whole world of people you need to lead.
Yeah.
And I think people are the biggest asset but also the biggest liability. So many real estate leaders, I think, all work with the best intentions, but sometimes underestimate the art of leading people. Mm. And it actually is a skill that requires experience and a level of competency, because you can have a workforce or you can have the life source that helps you fulfill your vision, and there's a big difference.
No, I know which one I'll prefer. Yeah.
And you guys do that all the time. So I think it is the dance in the business and on the business.
Yeah.
And if you don't plan time to do both, often leaders get very reactive, and especially the leaders that are reviewing their results monthly or quarterly, a lot of time has passed where you can't change the strategy. You can't be agile and nimble. You can't adapt.
Mm-hmm.
That's an
important thing. So what are the things that a leader should measure, and how often should they measure?
That's really critical. So there's two key things. I think it's internal and external. What's the level of engagement with your people? What's their productivity? What's the energy? And from a real estate perspective, I would definitely make sure that there's daily measures of calls, connects, appointments, listings, sales. And I hear a lot of energy going down that path of just more prospecting. And I agree, but what are we doing to measure the conversion rates? Because you're already in the lounge room. You're already at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
That you've done the hard work. And so many brands aren't actually, or principals or agents aren't stopping to go, how effective am I at converting across those steps, and where do I need to adjust? It's not just about making more calls, because if the calls aren't effective, or if your listing consultations aren't effective, more isn't the answer. It's like, what's missing in my skill or my rapport building that makes a difference?
In the lounge room.
So I think those fundamental prospecting elements are critical. So that's all the internal stuff. And then at an external level, your client engagement, what are they saying about you?
Mm.
You know, are you getting the referrals? Are you getting the repeat business? Are they saying, you've got to go and see Maria and Manos? And if not, why not? That's the stuff we've got to get really interested in.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're talking about these activities from a numbers point of view, and how many connections and how many doors you get into. But you specialise in the mindset, because at the end of the day, if we get the mindset right, everything just follows through.
Yeah.
So what are the normal blockages that a leader actually faces that actually stops them from having the right mindset to push through, or as an individual sales agent?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most important questions we need to be hacking into with this industry, because in my humble opinion, I think people enter the industry because it's relatively easy to get into.
Mm.
You can get your qualifications pretty swiftly. You can be your own boss, build your own culture, carve your own, you know, path, earn as much money as you're willing to work for.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Let's go. And then the reality is it's highly competitive. It's a world of rejection. You're going to get knocked back and no'd every single day. You were in commission. You maybe make a sale and get paid 3 months later. And according to the 2016 Roy Morgan research, it's the third least trusted profession in Australia. So people aren't running down the streets going, you're a real estate agent or a principal, I love you, which is a shame because I think many deserve that. So though that paradigm of why we enter the industry and the reality is so counterintuitive to our human desire for certainty, instant gratification, instant satisfaction, and instant validation. You have to know what you're getting into in the first place. So the fundamental thing is resilience, and you can't take things personally. You can't collapse failure with being a failure, because you're going to fail. And you just want to fail fast.
You want to learn from that. Over and over again. By asking the right questions and understanding what it is that you could have done better in that lounge room so you can nail it the next time. So I think if you're focusing on learning from those failures, it's not going to affect you as much. But
that's true.
But that's another skill, again, isn't it?
It is. And, that's a skill of human excellence. If you look at any of the most successful people on the planet, they never collapse failure with being a failure.
No.
They fail fast, and their distinctions of failure is, you know, like if you look at Thomas Edison, for an example, 10,000, well, some say 1,000, some say 6, some say 10,000 attempts to create the light bulb. Let's just cut it in the middle and say 6. 6,000 attempts to create the light bulb. But when he was interviewed by a journalist and they said, you know, Thomas, like you've tried to do this thing 274 times, like you failed 274 times, why don't you just quit? It's like, are you kidding me? Like I am 270, you know, four steps closer to the answer.
Yeah.
But we don't think that way often. We're not hardwired that way. Mm. So mindset is critical. So never collapse failure with being a failure. Everything that happens, I believe, is either a lesson or a blessing. Yeah. We're either learning something or we're receiving something. Either way, it's still a blessing.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. I think leaders need to be aware for themselves and their team that this is a counterintuitive environment, and you must develop a resilient mindset to succeed, because our clients deserve the very best version of us.
To do.
And then our kids and our families deserve the very best version of us at the end of the day, you know, when we drive home to be with our why. So that's critical. And I just think have a plan. And you know, you guys know, because we've worked through this, the six leadership practices are fundamental. So this is a practice that I learned from international leadership expert Brendan Burchard.
Mm.
He distilled the six fundamental practices, and they're practices, not steps, because we don't do them once and that's it.
No.
What are the six things that the world's greatest leaders do and do consistently to yield the greatest results? And it is a recipe, and it works if we do it.
If you stick to it.
If you stick to it.
Yeah.
And the handling the rejection, so that is probably the biggest challenge, especially those people that have just entered real estate. The understanding that I'm actually going to get through more no's before I get to a yes.
Yes.
So what's the best sort of activity to brush it off? I mean, I remember the first time we lost a listing, our personal life. I know. So I lost the listing. All right. So do I have to
say we
lost it together.
It's just that Manos overreacted.
Overreacted. I went home for 3 days. We lost the listing. The call came. Came in, they said they've chosen another agent, and I said
I was on the phone to them.
Yeah, Maria was on the phone to them. I heard the conversation in the office, and you know,
I wish them all the best. And then sincerely, I wish them all the best because all right, I was upset that we lost it, but I had to move on, and I learned.
Yeah,
you know,
you can see why I'm and still all that. Not over it.
And then I hang up the phone and I rang up the next client, and you were in front of my face straight away going, well, what's happening? What's going on? What happened? Blah, blah, blah.
It was one of those things that I could not accept. I'm thinking they loved us so much they were going to name our kids for, you know, their kids are our names. But they weren't. But anyways, the Lee Woodward line. But going back to it, I left the office 3 days. After getting that no that I thought was so confident, I said they loved us. We did everything right. And we had that big knock. To say look, no.
I think everyone does get upset.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
course.
You have we're to human. Be, yeah, you were human. You do, you have to, but you can't let it.
That 3 days is a lot of time.
You cannot let it, you know, more than 20 minutes, you can't let it affect you that much because you have to move on. Otherwise, yeah. you're not going to be doing the numbers that you want to be
but
doing.
But when you're in it, when you're a sales agent and you've just come into the industry, that's one of the biggest lessons that you need to learn. Not many people come into this industry already with that automatic.
No.
You know, yeah, I get yeah. knocked down, I get back yeah. up. So what's the best takeaway that we can give?
I think if you don't, I want to hear what you have to say, but if you don't focus on yourself and you actually focus on the other people, is that, you know what I mean? Like you're in there and that's it.
It really is.
And I think that comes naturally as well. If you're there to serve yeah. and you're focusing on them, and then you just, you know, if you've got your pipeline happening, you've got more people to focus on, yeah. it just keeps you.
It's easier said than done. I think that's what Manos is yes. alluding to.
Yeah.
And as leaders, it's not only listings that we lose out there in the field as agents, but also when agents. You're leaders, you actually lose people.
Yeah. My philosophy around this is make like Gandhi and live by his quote, which is lose yourself in service of others. You do have to sacrifice your he-go or she-go stroking because when we're in a funk, it's all about us. We're taking it personally. It goes back to that validation need, which we have as human beings. And so because we're in a counterintuitive environment, we actually have to have the competencies to rise swifter. So, yeah, if we have a philosophy of lose yourself in service of others, every knockback is an opportunity for me to learn what was missing. And if I park my ego my ego and I get more interested in finding out what was missing, Manos, that would have made a difference, then you'll learn. That's a vulnerable act, though.
It is.
It takes, look, here's the other thing. Dr. Brené Brown, an amazing researcher storyteller who has spent 10 years really hacking into the art of vulnerability. She says, you've got to dare greatly. And to dare greatly, you've got to be courageous. And to access courage, you have to be vulnerable. You have to ring. Do you know how many people don't actually ring vendors that they didn't get the listing and say, hey, guys, thanks for the opportunity to sit with you and find out what your needs are and appreciate you've chosen someone else. Can I just ask, what was missing that would have really made a difference?
Yeah.
Because I'm always looking to evolve. It's a vulnerable act, but so many people don't because we're just over here in our funk and we miss the opportunity to evolve.
Yeah.
But you look at any of the most successful agents, they've taken the time, or leaders, to find out what was missing and they separate. They don't take it personally. You can't take this stuff personally.
We're in the wrong business. It is easier said than done, but it is the reality. And I found it took me a long time to get into that right mindset. And I often struggle at times as well. We're only human, so it's not always, you know, on an upward swing. What I found the best solution for myself is to get really busy getting into work. I always know that through a difficult challenge, whether it's losing a listing, whether it's losing a staff member, whether it's losing an office, whatever it is, I always find that through some adversity, if you call it adversity, it's not really adversity, there's some magic that's hiding behind the door. And every single time we've gone through a challenge, we've just grown even more and more. And I guess if it happens to you on a number of occasions and you get through it, and you see the positive, you just know there's actually some sunshine on the other side. It's actually pretty good. Do you know what I mean?
Been through it enough times. To know.
And hence, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel is always there, and you keep pushing forward and you keep pushing forward. And as leaders, if we can instill that into our teams and say, look, this is the lessons that we've learned from what our challenges that we've gone through, the mistakes we've made, and just simple challenges, if we can instill that to our team, and they learn from us, I think that's magic.
And
in
it's focusing on the people that are already working with you. So throw yourself into service in the people that are already working for you. So you've got someone that's left you as an office, as a leader, but you've got another four people in the office. You're not doing any justice to the rest of them if you're just, you know, upset for the next week or month about that one person that left.
Yeah.
You're better off focusing all your energy in the people that are still with you. And with the vendors, listings, it's all the same, isn't it?
And it's and it is all energy. And
it's energy.
It's an important thing because leaders, I believe, are responsible for cultivating an energetic place where people really rise and shine. And that also, it takes something and it's consistent, you know, like that's what it requires to be a leader.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of brands and leaders miss the magic where all their dialogue and focus is on the consumer, which is valid, but there's this whole beautiful resource and life source here that are the vehicle to fulfill what we want here. And when we're just talking about our clients and consumers and not elevating our people to be the best version of themselves,
then everything will take care of itself.
And exactly. Yeah. And, you know, Richard Branson, he says you take care of your people
and they take care of
He's doing all right for himself. I think so. If it's good for Richard, come on, it's got to be good for us.
Look, we 100% agree. We say that, don't we? Our first clients are our agents and our people. And then our second clients are our vendors, landlords, and buyers. And it's 100% I agree with you. But focusing in helping them to achieve, helping them to grow, helping them to become better people, it's easier said than done as well, because a lot of people are resistant. So they're on board and they're doing a little bit, you know, they're doing okay. And then as leaders, we can see a better future for them than what they can
We have more belief in them than what they have in themselves.
And you want to empower them and you want to do all those things, but, you know, sometimes it's difficult. You know, there's a saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah.
So what's some of the things that leaders can do to actually get a better buying, I guess, from their people in regards to, you know, looking after themselves and their mental, the mindset.
They can engage danger.
You're gorgeous.
Well, you know, I was just,
you're good. You know, he's... Look, thank
well,
you.
Well, we know that, that it's been a huge difference working with you.
Yeah, thank you.
We know that. And obviously that's why you're here, so you can share some of your knowledge. Yeah. But, you know,
I think you guys do this the best I've seen, to be honest. And what I mean by that is you have a clear platform. If I, as an agent or a leader, want to come in and make $100,000, $250,000, $350,000, $600,000, a million, whatever it is. I haven't seen your strategy for that yet, but it's a work in progress. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you guys do this brilliantly, and it's a great lesson for all leaders. A lot of conflict and challenge happens in leadership and teams when the leader's expectations don't match the employee's expectation. And then on top of that, there's no agreement for performance. But when you start, if you're clear what I want, whether I do want to be a million-dollar agent or not, let's create a strategy specifically for me. And as leaders, we got to be okay with, I do want to just make $250,000 because I want to be at Johnny's soccer practice on a Thursday night, and I want to have pancakes with my family on Sunday, and that's okay.
Yeah.
However, getting goosebumps.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that I've been learning and seeing a lot. It's okay for that. However, if I put my business hat on and I have a pie and all of my agents represent a slice of the pie and, you know, they are on commission or some on retainer and commission, but let's just pretend commission. If I have someone on a slice of the pie that might be 15% of my business and they're not generating the revenue from that slice of the pie because they want to go to Johnny's thing, that's cool, but we need to have a level of transparency that they don't own that slice, because there's potentially $350,000 of revenue that's not coming to the business, or more importantly, thousands of homes that we're not servicing and helping people get onto the next chapter of their lives because you don't want to grow.
Mm.
So transparency.
Communication.
And a strategy, and then agreement.
Mm.
I see a lot of tension in teams when the leaders are frustrated that their people don't want more.
That's okay.
But then
that's
you don't know your people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a rule. It's not how many homes you sell or the KPI from an
it's
office
how
level.
Well you do
it's
it.
How well yeah. you yeah. service how well every you service single client, yeah. whether you want to sell one home per month or five homes per month. And sometimes selling five homes a month isn't as service orientated as selling one home per month. So I'll always look back to the agent. One, what is your goal?
Yes.
And then formulate a business plan around if it's service area that they're working or is it database they're servicing. The other KPI I'm really, really big on is their success ratio. Besides the opportunity ratio, which is the number one. Opportunity ratio is whoever's coming onto market within your particular area, did you get called in? And you've got to be up there. It's got to be over the 50% mark. Once you get called in, what's your success ratio? If their success ratio is lower than a 7 or an 8 out of 10, so for those people coming into market, then you've got danger happening there because the opportunity to convert is being lost. So
and,
the
and
two
I guess
KPIs.
That's where I was sort of coming from. And it's true because you get called in, so that's an opportunity for the office, but then you miss that opportunity while you're in the lounge room. And that's where it goes back to training and their willingness to learn. And
good point. The other thing I think as leaders, you must know when you're developing your people, there's two real paradigms you need to play in. Do they have the skill? Do they have the skill to do what they're here to do? And that's okay, we can develop skill, but are they willing? So from a performance development plan,
totally,
you can go in and talk about, you know, they're not performing, and one of the things I'm really big on is leaders are responsible for the results that their team is producing. We can't point the finger, because if I'm pointing the finger at you, there's three pointing back at me that say, me, myself, and I, you know, I'm going to look away or not. So it takes great responsibility to lead, but that means you see yourself as able to respond, but you've got to be interested in your people. Do they have the skill, whether it's a $250,000 or a casquillion business plan, and are they willing? And this one is the hardest, because this is what requires consistency. And this is where leaders are challenged, because especially if you are a listing selling principal and you are in that dance of in and on, you don't plan time to check in with your people and see, are they still willing? No matter what's happening in the market, no matter what their competitors are doing, no matter what noise is going on, are they still showing up? Are they still giving it their all? And are we still dusting ourselves off and picking ourselves up? And if not, why not?
Yeah.
That's when we need to check our leadership and go, what's missing? Because motivation will take us so far, but inspiration will lead us everywhere. And that's a leader's role, is to fuel inject their people, you know?
Yeah,
and that doesn't happen once. And I mean, I'm happy to say it, scream it from top of Crete. You guys do a beautiful job at this, you know. And I remember seeing your business strategy day where you could literally, no matter what platform you pick, it's like paint by numbers. Here's a plan. You literally can just follow the plan, get a mentor, you know, your buddy system. There's no reason why you can't succeed. A lot of it is the willingness.
It is. It's an amazing industry. We're so blessed to be in this industry. I think, you know, a lot of people are talking about disruption and this, that, and the other, but I think it's a great industry with amazing people in it. And
can I say something about disruption?
Yes,
would
definitely.
That be okay?
Absolutely, go for it.
It's going to happen, right? And there's two places we can play. We can spend our energy in our circle of concern, the market, the weather, the industry,
Easter,
long weekend, Mother's Day,
it's raining,
Donald Trump, celebrity bust ups, the politics, war on terrorism. We can spend our time and energy there, which is our circle of concern, which gives us lots of reasons why we're not performing. Or we can focus on our own backyard and look at our circle of influence. What am I doing to elevate my people?
Yeah.
What am I doing to deliver memorable client engagement and experiences? What does my foyer look, feel, smell like? What happens to me as a first home buyer? Like, have I got a bunch of 14 keys and I'm trying to open my door and that's my first experience? Like, what are we doing about the attention to detail?
Yeah.
Too much time is being spent here. We need to check in. because you don't want to have your head in the sand. But we play too much over in this circle of concern. We just are fueled with reasons why we're not performing. Mm. Leaders and teams have to really dive deep in their circle of influence and play in our own backyard.
Love it. Beautifully said.
Well done.
Yeah.
And one of the projects you've been working on at the moment is Transform 2017, yes. Elite Magazine with Samantha and Mark and your amazing six contestants. Team. How's that coming along?
Oh, that's been incredible. You know, I love transformation every day, but to see six individuals put their hand up to be transformed in front of the nation and put themselves in a vulnerable position to ask for people to vote for them, which is a very, you know, like that's a vulnerable act, and then turn themselves inside out to transform and grow and become the best agent and human being they can be was such an incredible opportunity. And, I've learned so much from the team and, you know, Sam and Mark and the whole team at Elite just
they're doing an amazing job every year
of innovation. You know, they're always looking at how to add value to the industry, how to provide opportunities for people to educate and grow, and how to provide platforms for people like you and I to be a contribution and showcase what we do and our value proposition. You know, they really are making a big difference. So blessed to be alongside legends like Tom Panos and Claudio Encina, just beautiful, beautiful guys. And pinch myself, you know. No. 2.5 years ago, I was a vendor going, I reckon there's an opportunity here.
In that industry.
Here I am.
You know? You open the door and you walk through and you've done some amazing things.
Jump in the net will appear.
That's it.
Yeah, it was a beautiful opportunity.
Mm. Fantastic.
Okay, so I think we've come to the end.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add today?
Just thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be here on the couch with you guys.
Well, that was your brainchild. Can we just say that? Yes. On the couch with Eminem. That was your suggestion. We started this because you thought it would be we'll be able to provide some really good value to business leaders out there.
I do.
You saw that we're doing some really good stuff and you said, why not take it out there and interview some people? And we took it on board and it's been working really, really well. So,
and thanks for everyone's feedback. We really, really appreciate the comments and the feedback that we're getting. So it's been really, really good. But awesome.
Yeah.
But we're going to finish off on the fast five, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes. And also,
is that right?
And before, and then we'll talk about how people can get in contact with you.
Sure.
Okay. So let's start with the fast five.
I can see it better from there. Okay, cool.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. Cool. Go on. You start.
So number one, as a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, a teacher. A teacher, I used to sit my toys in a semicircle and hold the book and do roll call and call out their names.
And you are.
You are
a teacher.
Grew up. Yeah.
Yes.
Did my thing.
Yeah. Name an achievement that you're most proud of.
I would have to say, like, being still married after 18 years and having two teenage daughters, that's an achievement in today's day and age when two out of three marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
But honestly, I've had lots of big achievements. I'd have to say the stuff that lights me up the most is just the calls that happen every day when my clients ring and they've had a breakthrough, when they've gone past what would stop them. That's why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the big and sexy so much. It's when you see someone go past their own expectations of themselves.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That happens daily. So I'm pretty blessed.
Awesome. What is the next item in your bucket list?
So on a personal level, off to a 15-day incredible journey to Egypt in December.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, so that's going to be pretty unbelievable. And then on a professional level, with thanks to my beautiful friend and partner in crime, Kylie Davis and CoreLogic Australia, we've just completed the first ever real estate of leadership survey.
Yeah.
And the intention is just to we've got the executive summary ready and just preparing the full report of findings and just basically share that with the industry and provide opportunities for corporate teams and coaches and trainers to reverse engineer content to make a difference.
Awesome.
That's brilliant.
Awesome.
So that's been fun.
Yeah. We had Kylie speak at our
she's the bomb.
Last quarterly awards and she was talking me about that.
The data queen.
We look forward to that. Yeah.
And who do you admire most within the industry and why?
present company included, of course. You know, I'm never backward in coming forward about my love and respect for you guys. From an industry service provider, I would say definitely Josh Cobb of Steps. Mm. I think he's, from an entrepreneurial perspective, he's niched into an industry that really needs marketing and social media as a platform to build connection. He just is a beautiful, humble guy that delivers great results consistently. And so he really inspires me. You know, I want to grow up and be Josh Cobb.
I love him. I'm sure he's watching. Well, we're working with him, and he's good.
Yeah, we are working with Josh, and he's amazing. So, and the last one, if your life was a book, what would the title be?
A perfectly imperfect, consistent work in progress.
Perfect. I love it.
Work in progress.
That's it. That's a work in progress. Yeah, that's really it. Never arriving. That's life, always.
Isn't it?
Yeah, evolving.
Yeah.
And if the audience needed to get in contact with you, Tanja?
So, well, the W's, www.tmjcoaching.com.au.
Awesome.
But Sam will put all
the details.
The details down the bottom. Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you. Love
absolute
you guys.
It's a pleasure having you.
Oh,
and we've so enjoyed working with you for the last 2.5 years and obviously continuing to work with you and the team and stuff like that. So,
it's been awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, congratulations on all the amazing things that you're doing. It's beautiful to see.
Thank you. It's great having you on our journey.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you for watching.
And we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.